Everyone, welcome to another edition of the Final Down NFL Podcast with me, Jim, Punk Raider and Denver Dave. We're here to talk about the NFL, boys. How you doing? Good to have you back.
It's been a long week.
Hello. How are we? You think we've been on holiday? I mean, I know you've tried to replace us before, but, you know.
I know. I wasn't happy. I was expecting a bumbling idiot, and you got someone else competent.
Exactly. You got someone that could actually talk. So, well done, Chris.
There was one bumbling idiot last week, but Finn did well.
We have him every week, so it's fine.
Exactly. It felt a bit like Men in Black. Like, I was trying to get your replacement, but I ended up probably getting my replacement in Finn. So thank you so much, Finn, for coming on and covering for these two clowns for last week. Good to have you back, though, boys. And we're going to jump into our games of the week.
Me and David are games of the week.
Oh, we're not going to jump into the games of the week. What are we doing, Dave?
I've got some. So, as lots of other podcasts have done, I've been talking to various different people who have managed to make us something brilliant. Are you ready? Look at that.
That's awesome.
It's good, isn't it?
Dave is holding up a beanie with Final Down Podcast on it.
Yes.
Oh, wow. And a very fetching bobble on the top.
It's a lovely bobble. It comes in lots and lots of different colours. I have a supplier who is able to make them if you want to buy them. It's not. It's blue. It's not black.
It looks like black and grey and white.
It's black on my screen.
It's just the camera. So go over to my Twitter, Jim's Twitter, Pump Raider's Twitter. I'll pin it on. So if you want to order one, you can. We will. We will charge. I don't know what we'll charge for them. I can tell you what cost will be.
$1 million.
Because I don't. $1 million each. All we need is one order. If you do want it, head over to Twitter. Details will be there. I don't know what the details are at the moment. And the only problem is shipping does take a little bit of time, but not too long. But it is good quality. Mm. I'm very happy with the stitching. I'm holding up to the camera now. You can see the stitching is very, very good.
We can see it. Yeah.
You can see it.
It looks like a very warm.
It is. Do you know what it
piece
is?
Of apparel that many of our listeners should be proudly sporting.
Well, the idea.
Did Jim and I get one gratis?
Or have we got one?
Oh, we got paid for them as well.
Yeah, what it is. So it was actually the wife's idea because she said, "Well, when you go to London, why don't you make like a Final Down T-shirt so people can see it?" I'm like, London in November. You think I'm wearing a t-shirt, you're out of your damn mind. So she went, well, wear a hat. So I went, So I started thinking about it. And got a hat created. It's pretty good.
You kept that quiet.
Well, yeah, it's a nice surprise for you. But it is genuinely a really, really nice hat. Like, legit, genuinely.
It looks exactly like the NFL one. So, you know, it's got that shape, that bobble on the top,
etc. Does say, this is a prototype, it says Final Down Podcast. It will say The Final Down Podcast because, you know.
Get the name right.
But it was the prototype, mixed up at the printers. But we can get them done for you. So if you do want them, head over. I think they're available in like all kinds of colours, lime green, you name it. We'll put a list of everything that's on there. But yeah, there you go. Nice little help for you. So if you're interested, head over to Twitter.
Or thefinaldown.com, where we'll put a link on there as well. Yes. We haven't had merch before, but that's pretty awesome.
We have now. Yeah, I'm really proud of it. I'm really, really happy with it. Genuinely came in, I was like, I really like that. It's genuinely good.
I need to have a podcast that's worthy of that bobble hat now.
Indeed.
So no pressure, Dave.
I'll go then, yeah? I'll go.
Yes, let's get you back on it, mate. What was your game of the week?
My game of the week is the Lions game against Washington. Now, one of the reasons I picked this is obviously I'm a bit of a sort of secret Lions fan. Somewhat of a secret. So Detroit started by taking a 22-0 lead at the half. Washington were ineffective in the first half with only 56 offensive yards. It was a good performance in all three phases by the Lions. So Detroit put up a total of 425 total yards, including 36 points. And Detroit also put up 35 points in week one in the loss to Philly, meaning currently Detroit had the number one ranked offense in the NFC. Number two overall in the NFL ranked alongside Kansas. And also the Lions posted 34 points at the end of last season in the final game. So technically they've had three games on the bounce over 34 points.
Right.
Defense came to play as well. They didn't allow Washington a first down until their sixth possession. Plus they had five sacks and interception and a magnificent safety. after a fumble on the on no, it was a fourth down that didn't convert on the goal line, and then Carson Wentz got taken down. USC receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown had a huge game, continued huge season, going for a buck 16, two touchdowns, also carried for 68 yards as well, and it was St. Brown's eighth straight game with at least eight receptions, tying an NFL record tied with Michael Thomas and Antonio Brown, formerly of the Steelers. He also produced six straight games with eight plus receptions and a touchdown, which is a brand new NFL record. He solely owns that. DeAndre Swift also got big chunk plays on the ground, averaging 11.2 yards per carry and 15 yards in the air with a tutty as well. So for Washington, they're now 1-1. The offense actually looked okay once it got going. Mostly in the second half, it was just that those alterations to the play. Carson went 30 for 46 with 337 and three touchdowns, and the obligatory Wentz interception, obviously. Finished with a pass rate of 99.6, so not actually that bad. No, the offense looked a bit anorexic at first, but fleshed out and became okay. The main issue is a man that Punk and I know well, Jack Del Rio's defense. Commanders have played without starting strong safety Cameron Curl. Defensive end Chase Young, who continues with on IR from his ACL. And Fedarian Mathis, who's the rookie defensive tackle, who suffered a season-ending knee injury in week one as well. The former first rounder, Jonathan Allen, was supposed to be on snap count because of sore groin, but Ron Rivera said that they had to abandon that plan, and he played 52 snaps overall. So not good for a team that's already struggling for injuries to put one of your long-term strugglers with due to arthritis, which is fairly well known for Jonathan Allen.
You got a sack, didn't you, I think, Jonathan Allen, in this game?
Did get a sack. It was his first of the season. Same goes for Jamin Davis as well. He played much better than in first week of the season. He recorded a sack, blitzing through the A-gap. He was also decent in coverage as well. But Cole Hokan, he looks way over his head playing the Mike linebacker. He was terrible. I don't think it's necessarily too disappointing for Washington in the long run, because they showed that the offense can ultimately make plays, but the defense needs to step up. There's no depth there whatsoever. They can't ship this amount of points each week. They were absolutely dominated on the ground. Overall, Detroit, they hung around late to secure a 36-27 victory. Well done, Detroit. And looked great doing it as well.
How was Hutchinson? Because I didn't see a huge amount of this game.
He was always there or thereabouts. I think he got a couple of sacks. But yeah, generally, I'm very impressed with him so far. I'm impressed with all of the front line of the Lions. But no, I think Washington didn't put any pressure on whatsoever. It was only a couple of years ago we were saying, you know, that defensive line was scary.
Yeah.
And it's just not there. It's just not there at all. So yeah, concerns on the defense. But I mean, it's Jack Del Rio. It's not doesn't come to me as a great shock. I mean, shame to you as well, I'm assuming.
I think the personnel's all right for Washington on defense. They've certainly spent a lot of their time with drafts and free agency looking at that defense and trying to make it better. But they always seem to luck out with their receivers. I mean, Terry McLaurin, who I've got on my fantasy team, he was on nothing for that first half. And I was thinking, oh, here we go. I should have put someone else in. But he still came up with double-digit points by the end. You know, he just does it. You can't stop him.
The guy who was marking him, whose name I've forgotten, played with him in college. So obviously spent the vast majority of time marking him in the first half. And it was only after he moved into the slot at first and then moved out again that he started getting some success. But by then, you're playing lights out because you're so far behind. That's kind of, I think, what they need to do. They need to play deep. But when, you know, when you're constantly under duress, as Washington were, it makes it difficult. I just don't think they've got the quality on the offensive line to be able to protect Wentz. And the one thing that Wentz needs is protection. If you give him decent protection, we give him a little bit of time, he'll look half decent. If he's pushed, he'll make bonehead moves. And that's when you see Wentz of the current era coming out.
I wouldn't be too worried about the Commanders, because they've got a lot of injuries at skill positions as well. They're running back. You know, Brian Robinson's coming back from those gunshot injuries.
That's the problem. They've got very little depth. As soon as you get past that front line, that you know, skim the top, and there's not a lot underneath. But yeah, defense is a big old problem, because so far they've allowed 314 yards per game on the 314 yards in total, not per game. That would be amazing. Which is 28th worst overall in the NFL. They're not very good at protecting the run. And guess who they play this week? The Eagles. They've got a rushing quarterback. He's not bad. So, yeah, they need to sort it out pretty quickly.
Fair play to the Lions. I mean, you know, we've talked about them for a while, and obviously you've been beating the drum for them, Dave, but
yeah,
they are actually looking like a genuine team now. They do have the ability to go down the field, sustain the drive, and actually finish it off, you know. And the defense looks alive.
They've got balance. They've got balance on offense, haven't they? Because they've got Swift and Williams running the ball quite nicely at times. You know, they've got that. It's you know, it's like that old Thunder and Lightning in the backfield, the big pounder and this agile, quick guy. But then they've also got that deep threat with some Amon-Ra and the other receiver whose name is completely escaping me.
DJ Chark.
Reynolds.
Yes, DJ Chark. So, well, you know, they've got good balance. They're not getting one-dimensional. They're not getting behind in games, which means they're only passing. So, yeah, I think the Lions, and, you know, we all talked them up a bit in our preseason pods. I think they are still in there as one of those sneaky, could-beat teams that you wouldn't expect them to type teams this season.
Based on what I've seen of them, though, I think they're a playoff team. They look and feel like a playoff team. They don't. I had them as well. They're not one of the
steady. Yeah, it's week two.
It is week two, but I mean, considering that seven teams go through, are there seven teams that are better than them in the NFC at the moment?
No,
I'm not sure, because the NFC is a bit skinny.
Not the NFC.
I mean, if they're in the AFC, forget about it. It's not a conversation that needs to be had. Anyway.
No.
But all no, right. I've been really impressed with them. As I say, at the moment, they have on points per game the best offense in the NFC. It's only week two, let's not get too carried away, but that's what we have to go on at the moment. Well done the Lions.
You just mentioned Jahan Dotson got another touchdown, so two games and he's scoring every game, so well done on that pick. Okay, so that's your game of the week, Dave. I better go and do mine then. My game of the week was the Miami Dolphins at the Baltimore Ravens. One of the best games you're going to see probably this season. Probably forget about it because we'll be inundated with our crazy weeks, but this was a consummate performance from Tua Tagovailoa. I think it's about time that some people started noticing what was going on there. He had 469 passing yards in Baltimore against a team that's riding Lamar on a contract year and records like six. You know, he had six touchdowns, Tua. Tyreek Hill, 190 yards and two touchdowns. 171 yards and two touchdowns for Jalen Waddle. He's spreading it around. Mike Gesicki with an awesome touchdown catch when they were like down big. What you're seeing from this Dolphins team didn't panic.
They were down 35-14 going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah. And a lot of teams, you start looking at the scoreboard and you start going, well, we're going to get desperate. They're going to throw Carson Wentz style throws, you know, Matt Ryan style throws. They didn't do that. And he had massive, the two touchdowns to Tyreek Hill were over 50 yards in the air. Wasn't yak. It was 50 yards in the air and dropped in the bucket to Tyreek both times. And then Jalen Waddle's second touchdown with 7 seconds left to seal it. It's just big nuts plays all the way with this team. And Mike McDaniel, I think, has been the instigator for that. It's also a team in Miami that they don't mind dipping into free agency. They don't mind splashing the cash. They don't mind making moves in the draft to make this a team that should be genuinely scary. If you're not scared of them by now, you should be. Because I think that they're just growing in confidence every game. What they did in week one, and now what they've done in week two against a team that everyone thought was going to beat them, especially in M&T Bank, that's a difficult place to go and get a win. I don't think you could have done much more than what Tua did in that game. On the other side, Baltimore looked really good at the start of the game. You know, they just took their foot off the gas.
Yeah, and that's a recurring theme. I mean, this week has been the craziest week two I think I've ever known. Normally come week two, week three, everyone's kind of had their preseason in week one and everyone's up to speed on how they should be playing and so on and so forth. Just to touch on the Dolphins, what you were saying there about Tua and his six touchdowns. You know, that's the first time that the Dolphins have looked like that with an explosive offense since Marino and the two Marks, Duper and Clayton, that, you know, obviously us old boys remember, but The only thing I'd say about the Dolphins is that it's great that you've done it for one game. Now you've got to do it consistently. To actually make people afraid of you, you've got to do it consistently. There's no point being great one week and only scoring 21 the next and losing. you've got to get that consistency. Now, this might be the, you know, second coming of Tua and all will be well. But, you know, it's always a show me league. What have you done lately? So, you know, I can't remember who the Dolphins are playing this week coming up, but if they can do it again, I'll start believing in them a little bit more. The Bills, there you go. There's the perfect opportunity to really make a statement for this season. Dolphins go out and beat the Bills this weekend, and, you know, people will have to start talking about them as you know, possible AFC contenders.
Yeah. I think you need to start taking them seriously. And I think, hopefully, it's a massive gut punch to the Ravens. Hopefully, a 10 losing streak might follow this. Yeah, it must have been difficult to watch that. But owners of River Craycraft in fantasy have got to be ecstatic.
Former Bronco.
Who? What? Where?
River Craycraft.
River Craycraft. Who's he? Name is escaping me.
What wide position receiver, did he play? Wide receiver. We got him as a punt returner. Mm. He was raw. And the problem was he's not going to develop with a Drew Lock. You can't have a developing wide receiver and a developing quarterback. So one of them had to go, and obviously they chose the quarterback. So he's now gone to a team. He's been decent. He's fine. And he got open in the end zone. Going on that, if you look at the actual fourth quarter, how much of it, and this is a question, this isn't me sort of, this isn't a closed question, so to speak. I'm not trying to lead you. These are genuine open questions. In the fourth quarter, we saw the touchdown to River Craycraft, who got open in the end zone after a scramble from Tua. Good play, terrible coverage. Then we saw a massive bomb downfield where Tyreek Hill got open. Good play, terrible coverage. Then we saw another touchdown afterwards by Tyreek Hill. Good play. Again, terrible coverage. He was so far. How do you leave Tyreek Hill that far open? Ridiculous. And then there was a play where Tyreek Hill caught it, ran across the field. Altogether, he ran about 80 yards for a 25-yard gain. And again, put a man on him. How do you not have even double coverage when, you know, at this point you're 38, 35 up? And then the touchdown to Jaylen Waddle at the end. Again, poor coverage. How much of it, and this is a genuine question, it's probably more to Punk than to Jim, because I think, Jim, you've probably nailed your colours to the flag a little bit. How much of this was Baltimore and how much of it was that Miami? And I'm not leading you because I don't know the answer.
Yeah, and it proved to us that it's not just the Ravens took their foot off the pedal too far and had a bad day and,
It was so naive. It was just like, what are you lot doing? It was unbelievable.
They've got a new defensive coordinator in Baltimore. I think that might be.
It looks like they need a new reason. One.
Yes, they've got one.
They need another new one. The problem is we're still in week two, so it's very difficult to say, is this for definite the Ravens not being very good in the defensive backfield and the Dolphins being exceptional on offense? It's the truth is probably somewhere between the two.
You say
it's probably a case of, you know, the Ravens still learning the new coordinator's schemes. They've got some pretty young cornerbacks as well. So when you've got someone like Tyreek Hill that, you know, will send pretty much any cornerback for a hot dog if he feels like it and is on his game. It's one of those combinations that I think they probably just relaxed too far. If they kept playing for even, you know, 5 minutes into the fourth quarter as how they played the rest of the game, and 9 times out of 10, 35-14 up, you're pretty much safe because by that point, you know that the offense isn't doing a lot. Something happened that just kind of triggered that Dolphins offense into turning into something ridiculous.
Well, they scored a touchdown at the start of the second half. And then you also saw the defense stiffen for the Dolphins front line. They started to finally kind of get through that O-line and start to properly pressure Lamar. They started to figure out what he was doing. They took away his reads. And all of a sudden, like what they were doing in the first half was just breezing down the field and it wasn't happening anymore. There was definitely an adjustment at halftime with that Dolphins defense. They also had a really good stop on fourth and goal in the first quarter. I mean, that kind of, you look back at it now, that would have made a massive difference as well. Because the Ravens looked like they were in, judged them short on third down, fourth and inches, and they managed to cough the ball up from Lamar. So, the Dolphins defense, although they weren't great in the first half, they certainly made the adjustments for the second half. And it just culminated again with the offense really just taking their time. Tua going through his progressions, being sensible in the pocket as well, moving around in the right way, and just getting stuff done and just moving the chains. Over 460 yards of passing against that Ravens team. You're going to be worried if you're a Ravens fan, how easy it was to pass the ball on you.
But at the same time, the Ravens had 473 total offensive yards as well, so it wasn't exactly a walk in the park. One question I wanted to say, though, is it was immediately apparent just how much separation the wide receivers for Miami were getting. I mean, it was much, much easier for Tua than it was for Lamar Jackson. And the amount of times Jackson would look downfield and have one option, and that would be Mark Andrews. You know, that would be his own
blown coverage touchdown.
Bateman's
well.
Okay, but a lot of his were chunk plays. Generally, in terms of availability, at the tight end or another receiver elsewhere. Whereas Tua had 3, 4, 5, even 6 men. At one point, they were paying 10-man personnel. He had 4 wide receivers out there. And he had 3 options to throw to. So take your pick. It's not difficult play. And that's why I subscribe to Punk's point of view of, let's see what you do against a bit of a better team. I'm not going to take any credit away, but I'm not going to heap any extra credit on. Well done, Miami. You've beaten what looks like a good team. And to come back from where you are, well done. But I'm not going to get too carried away yet, because we saw the Dolphins last year beat bad teams, like stuff bad teams, but lose to, you know, good or above average teams.
Okay. Well, there we go. Those are the games of the week. So, Punk, it's on to you now for your power plays.
Punk's power plays. This is the fun part of the week. So this is where we go through and pick out some bits and pieces that, you know, either individuals have done really well, teams have done really well. So let's get straight into it. We're going to start with a bit of love for the Falcons. I don't know if you boys saw any of the Falcons game. I mean, it's pretty horrific up until the fourth quarter. But Marcus Mariota made an amazing throw on a fourth down in that game, where he actually fell down flat on his face, was laying on the ball, managed to get up and make the throw sideways. It was Mahomes-like in its beauty. And to do that with Aaron Donald bearing down on you, you know, big props to Mariota. So he gets a power play thumbs up just for doing that. We've already talked about it, but the whole Dolphins come back from 35-14 in the fourth quarter. The one thing I want to highlight from this for the play is Gesicki's touchdown. The lad jumped almost as high as the crossbar to bring that ball in. It wasn't the most accurate ball from Tua, but he somehow got up in the air and toe-tapped his way into for the touchdown.
So I disagree. That's exactly where it's supposed to be. That's a you or no one ball.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. It's a you or no one ball. But when it's 7.5 feet in the air and the guys jump into... So
he knows how tall his tight end is.
3 inches below the crossbar. That's a hell of a play. Yeah. So he gets a big power thumbs up. The Jets onside kick, recovery. What I want you to go and watch here is actually the kick itself rather than the actual recovery, because when the Jets take this, they lay the ball sideways. They're not taking it like a normal onside kick. It's very much a little grubber kick in rugby, but with the ball literally laid horizontal, which was an excellent piece of kicking. And kickers don't get enough love. So love to the kickers.
You know what? I saw, I think it might have been the Texans do that last season, except the guy laid it down flat on the floor rather than, I want to call it, on the tee. But
yeah, it was on the tee. So the Jets did it off the tee.
Laid it flat on the floor, and your mate comes out and boots it, and it rolls forward, tilts right, and then actually rolls behind him. So it was a negative kick. Not only did it not go 10 yards, it actually went behind him and went in a sort of semicircle, and it went for sort of -3 yards.
Well,
so,
this
if you're going to do it bad. You know,
this one was absolutely perfect. It was kind of like that, but then they also recovered it and also went down and scored the winning touchdown off it. So absolutely fantastic. The Seahawks, they're going to get a bit of love from me as well. Anytime you block a field goal for an 86-yard return, and it, you know, whenever you can get a pun in like it was a thriller by Michael Jackson, then it's got to be mentioned on the podcast. So, you know,
I thought it was pretty bad.
Oh dear!
Absolutely brilliant.
Well, it was the other player. The other player was really involved. Billy Jean, I think his name was.
Yeah, yeah. These puns are getting dangerous, so we better move on. Right? Come on. Any more power plays here?
We've got what? We've got two more. Two more. Mm-hmm. One, okay. I want to give a big, big, big thumbs up, and I won't do this very often, so this is a bit of a landmark moment. The Broncos crowd. The Broncos crowd started counting down the play clock because yep. the offense were that bad at looking at the numbers. It was amazing to hear, and big thumbs up to them for doing it. That's a crowd helping out their team. Finally, there's one more play to go. But before we get into this final play, here's a little fact for you. Both the Raiders and the Ravens blew 16-point leads in the fourth quarter this last week. The only other time that has happened in the last 30 years, twice in one day, is October the 10th, 2004, when the Rams did it to the Seahawks and the 49ers did it to the Cardinals. So there's a little fact for you. Now, on to the play itself.
Thank you.
This is going to hurt. Kyler Murray's 21-second, 85-yard run for a two-point conversion that got the Cardinals back within one score. And basically, it was at that moment I knew the game was up. How? How does a quarterback run for 85 yards behind the line of scrimmage without anyone getting a hand on him? Just mad athleticism from the horrible little midget quarterback.
Do you know what, though? There was a scouting report, and one of the scouts said he runs like a toddler who's just stolen his parents' mobile phone.
He really does.
He really does.
It genuinely does. And, you know, there's a part in that game when Max Crosby's got his hands on him on the final drive, and you're just going, just throw him on the floor. The game's over. Done. And he managed to escape. And again, it's those silly little legs that he doesn't lift his knees up. He just shuffles, which is exactly the toddler thing. So those are the Punk's power plays of the week. Now, there is one other thing to do that I'm going to do each week in this segment, and that's Punk's pain of the week. Now, this isn't necessarily going to be a bad play as such, but it could be, you know, something bad that's happened, some bad play call or execution or someone doing something really execution? Stupid. Yeah, bad execution.
Really,
this week, Punk's pain is going to be directed to the Raiders head coach and coaching staff.
You're right.
You're out of your damn mind.
The Raiders have never in our history lost a game after leading by 20. The play calling in the second half was the most pathetic thing I think I've seen since John Gruden's play calling.
It's back a long way.
You cannot do what they did and just completely take their foot off the pedal, forget the run game, throw these silly little out routes that the defense are all over, play prevent defense where you're standing 10 yards off every single receiver and try and run out the clock from halfway through the third quarter. Stop it. Too many NFL teams are doing it. They need to be aggressive and they need to play through. Just the Ravens as well. They did exactly the same thing, and look what happened to both of them. You cannot do this in the NFL. Teams are too good. Even the bad teams are too good for you to take your foot off and expect you've won just because you're up by 20 points. Rant over. Pain of the week. Ah.
The Oakland Las Raiders, or whatever you're called this week, are not even the worst coached team in the AFC West.
Oh no, I know. But for two quarters on Sunday, we definitely were.
Did just a quick sort of query. Did the Cardinals punt at any point in your game? Ooh, did you send out a punt returner?
Did I see them punt? Oh.
Did the Raiders send out a punt returner?
Yeah, there was a punt returner on the field.
Just wondering. How many penalties did you have in the game?
Oh, I don't know. I don't 13? Count penalties.
Is it 13? Is it not? No?
Penalties.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, we Raiders gave up counting penalties a long time.
We'll get on to this in a bit.
Gave up counting penalties.
But... Dude, honestly, you have nothing to whine about. Back in your box, lad.
I if I have to pick one power play, though, it is the Broncos. crowd. That you know what, I just though? Started we're laughing not, my head off when I heard that.
We weren't the only crowd that's counting down. The Pittsburgh crowd is counting down to when Kenny Pickett becomes the full-time quarterback.
Yep, we are, yep, yep. just to let you know that the Raiders had 10 penalties for 68 yards. The Cardinals had 12 for 120 yards and you still lost the game.
Rubbish, so there you go. Just as bad as us.
Okay, guys, so let's go through the scores then for all of the games, because obviously we've gone for our games of the week. We've alluded to some other games there. Let's just quickly run through them for people that don't know. So Thursday night and then AFC West shootout. You expect nothing less from Herbert and Mahomes. The game switched on the 99-yard pick six for the Chiefs after Gerald Everett got targeted, despite wanting to come off the field. The final score there was the Kansas City Chiefs 27, Chargers 24.
Chargers be Charger-ish, man. I told you, they drop it when you know, in the big games, when under the lights, it is what it is, you know.
Yep. Oh, Sunday, the Browns. They were riding a 3-touchdown game from Nick Chubb and had a 13-point lead over the Jets with less than 2 minutes left, but a blown coverage touchdown for rookie Garrett Wilson, a recovered onside kick, and a second Wilson touchdown catch meant that the last time the Browns went 2-0 still remains 19-93. The final score was the Cleveland Browns 30, New York Jets 31.
It's nice to see Wilson get some touchdowns, though. It's always nice when the rookies get off the mark.
Yeah, Garrett Wilson's a quality receiver. Next up then, bring back Carson Wentz in Indianapolis. This was a proper shutout for the Colts by a Jaguars team who looked dangerous on both sides of the ball. Two touchdowns for Christian Kirk, one on the ground for James Robinson, three picks of Matt Ryan and five sacks. The final score was Jacksonville Jaguars 24, Colts 0.
You lot mocked me when I said the Jags have the ability to finish second in AFC South. That division is pants. Jags look pretty good. I mean, how bad are the Colts? They are absolutely horrendous.
No Michael Pittman.
You lot mocked my fantasy team. And I've beaten both of you in the first 2 weeks now, and I've had Matt Ryan as my quarterback each week. So how bad are your teams?
Oh, horrendous.
How quickly are you dropping Matt Ryan?
I've already dropped him.
Garoppolo's. I'm picking him up on waivers.
my fantasy team, I'm going to be honest, is worse than the 2016 Browns. You know, it doesn't absolutely terrible.
I started Trey Lance last weekend and I still outscored Matt Ryan with Trey Lance.
Yeah,
so
absolutely. Yeah.
My fantasy team on his own didn't outscore Matt Ryan.
Let's do the Saints Bucks then. Looks like the curse of the Bucks losing to the Saints is over. All it took was Tom Brady smashing a Surface Pro tablet. The only two good performances came for the Bucks defense. Shaq Barrett with two sacks, Jamil Dean with two or three interceptions of Jameis Winston as the Saints crumbled in the fourth quarter. The final score was the New Orleans Saints 10, Tampa Bay Buccaneers 20. It was a great game until the end, really, when all the scoring happened. Very strange. But the Saints just seemed to bottle it.
Yeah, it was one of those moments where, you know, you don't fully pay attention to the game. It tails off as a 3-3 draw, and all of a sudden you look and there's almost 40 points on the board and you go, where the hell did that come from? I'm going to be honest, I didn't bother to go back and watch it, so I don't really know what happened.
It was a really interesting game while it was still close, and then Saints just buckled. But we're going to move on then. So the Panthers at the Giants and two quarterbacks who put up under 150 yards passing, one touchdown and not much else. Christian McCaffrey managed to break 100 yards rushing. Saquon just over 70 yards rushing. In the end, it was ex-Panthers kicker Graham Gano with the deciding points. The final score was the New York Giants 19, Carolina Panthers 16.
Everyone's so high on the Giants at the moment. I don't understand it.
They just shocked they won two games. I think that's all it is. Yeah. And they haven't been absolutely terrible.
But who have they played? It's a little bit of sort of Miami-ism from last year. They beat teams who they probably should be. It'll be interesting when they come up against a good team. Who have they got this week?
I think that's going to happen when they come up against a good team. But let's move swiftly on then. So let's do Pittsburgh and New England. So a muff punt in the third quarter gave the Patriots the chance to go 11 points up against the Steelers. They took it and Mitch Trubisky was unable to recover. Were the check downs his or offensive coordinator Matt Canada's choice? We'll put Kenny in and find out. The final score was Pittsburgh 14, New England 17. We knew it was going to happen. They were going to start calling for Kenny as soon as they started playing badly. And unfortunately, Mitch Trubisky was checking down as his first choice rather than aiming at wide open receivers in a very bad New England secondary. So until something changes, then.
I didn't really get the feeling that, you know, you guys were ever in the swing of it on offense. I was expecting Najee Harris to be out and not be playing, but he managed to take the field. But under no point did that Steelers offense look like it was, well, a Steelers offense. You know, like you have any kind of athleticism or any kind of attack. It was just, yeah, it was like a dire offense. It was like watching the XFL. You know, the sooner you make the move, the better. I don't necessarily rate. Pickett, but he's got to be better than Trubisky. He has to be, surely.
Yeah, there's obviously a school of thought that says it's not even Trubisky's fault, it's Matt Canada's fault. But we're only going to find out when they get rid of him, I guess. Or they put Kenny in, there's no difference, or there's no uptick. So
there's a school of thought that says that Tom Brady's not actually any good. It doesn't mean to say it's true, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I don't know.
So still not sure how the game between the Rams and the Falcons end up as a close game. The Rams have fallen asleep before. Last season against the Bucks is a good example. The Falcons are used to a 28-3 scoreline. This time they almost reversed the curse. Rookie Drake London got his first touchdown, but it wasn't enough, especially with Cooper Kupp getting his two. The final score in LA was the Rams 31, the Falcons 27. And we've kind of mentioned this game, but
yeah,
don't know how the Falcons got anywhere close to this. It was a load of mistakes by the Rams that put them in there, but don't go thinking this is a good Falcons team.
It ain't. No, not by any means.
It ain't. Right, let's do the Sunday evening slate then. So we're going to start off with the 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks, so Sunday evening games. And that first one was overshadowed by their new QB, Trey Lance, suffering a severe injury on the opening drive, a broken ankle that ends his season before he had a chance to prove himself. Geno reverted to being Geno that we remember in New York. The Niners come out with an easy win. The final score, Niners 27, Seahawks 7.
It's a bit of a shame, but in the short term, I think the 49ers are possibly a better team.
Well, it proves them right as to why they held on to Garoppolo, doesn't it?
Yeah. No, it's very smart.
And the fact they're only paying him $6 million instead of $23 million is, you know, you kind of feel for Garoppolo in that, well, you know, should he actually just hold out again now and just go, actually pay me my $23 million or else I'm going?
Do you know what? He still gets $23 million. It's just structured completely differently. So he's not any worse off financially. It's just the way it works on the cap. It gives him a little bit more security as well. In a funny way, though, your pick, Jim, that I mocked you for, having picked them to win the Super Bowl, is actually much more likely now, to be perfectly honest.
They're not going to win the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo, so actually it's worse. I'll counter that.
No, but they may get there. You might
say they've got a better chance of getting to it, but I count as saying there's no way Jimmy Garoppolo ever wins
a
Super Bowl.
Let's not forget, it was only a few Super Bowls ago that Jimmy Garoppolo was one ball away from Emmanuel Sanders from actually getting a completion that could have won them the game. He didn't complete it. But do you know what? That's a million times more likely to happen again than the 49ers get there with Trey Lance.
You don't know that. You cannot say that because you never saw him play a proper game.
No, okay. But you can't say that because you've never saw him play a proper game.
Well, what I've seen is the potential which Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't have. I'm not getting stuck down into this one again, all right? We haven't seen it. We're going to have to wait again to see what this guy's like. He might not be great, but you can't say he's not. You can't say he's not until he's had a chance to prove himself, and he hasn't had a chance. I mean, Shanahan was getting some pelters for the play calling he was doing on that first drive, treating him like a running back, basically, and putting him into the position where he got injured.
I mean, Shanahan's seen him. Shanahan's a good coach, and he's seen him all the way through OTAs and picked the calls that he believes are most likely to be successful. So people in the stands who've only seen him, as you say, not seen him for very long, can sit there and criticize him. But ultimately, we have to bow down to the play calling of Shanahan because he's proven he's a very, very good coach.
I agree. I'm just telling you, there were some pelters about the play calling.
I mean, that's fine. I have no hesitation siding with, absolutely no hesitation siding with Shanahan on that. I'm firmly of the opinion that Garoppolo is the better of the two quarterbacks. We'll agree to disagree.
I mean, again, once I hear about a quarterback that you like, then I'll start writing that stuff down. So
I mean, I've told you loads.
I'd love to see your QB rankings one day, Dave.
I will do that.
Who has two thumbs and has lost back-to-back weeks against Mitch Trubisky and Cooper Rush? Joe Burrow. The Cowboys got out to an early lead with touchdowns from Noah Brown and Tony Pollard. A T. Higgins score late on made it close, but the boys win. Final score, Dallas Cowboys 20, Cincinnati Bengals 17.
Punk, you were wrong. You said the most overrated team in the NFL was the 49ers. That is not correct. The most overrated team in the 49ers is Dallas. In the NFL, rather, is Dallas.
Well, it is Dallas with a backup QB.
Yeah, everyone's getting very, very carried away. You wait until that.
Defense back. Is still good. The defense is still very good. So, yeah, they're not quite as overrated as you might be thinking they are. But
I think they are.
What's happened to the Bungles?
The offensive line looks horrendous,
doesn't it? Considering they spent all that money on it,
awful. Yeah, it takes a long time to get an offensive line to click, though. But how much of it is the Super Bowl hangover, you know?
You never know, but it's definitely a real thing.
It's a real, this is what we said last year, it's a real, tangible, measurable thing. Unfortunately, looks as though that's what's going on with the Bengals at the moment. We just hope, so last year was the Bengals owners for the first time really spending money in free agency. Let's hope that the issues that they're having at the moment don't prevent them from doing that again in the future, because it's the right thing for them to do to have any kind of success. And at the moment, Joe Burrow is not going to last very long in the league, taking the hits and the volume of hits that he has.
Okay, next game. Let's do the Broncos and the Texans, shall we? And bring back Vic Fangio. Nathaniel Hackett's about as liked in Denver as Matt Canada is in Pittsburgh. Broncos fans booing the stagnant offense and even chanting the play clock. Still, a fourth quarter touchdown catch by Eric Sober gave him the win. Final score, Denver Broncos 16, Houston Texans 9.
I mean, where do I even start?
Here you go, like, with this, Dave.
Genuinely, it's painful to watch the number of penalties. We had the play clock run down like three times. 7 minutes into the fourth quarter, we burned all of our timeouts. And I think Russell Wilson's is pretty much being his savior at the moment, because he could easily throw him under the bus. So Russell Wilson was asked, what's happening with the play calling? Because it's taken so long to get the message across that by the time you get to the line, there's 10 seconds gone. Then by the time you do your preset, snap motions and things like that, there's 1 second left on the clock. And it's, you know, your lines are cut off. When the head coach is talking to the quarterback, your lines are cut off about 20 seconds. About 20 to 25 seconds. That's after that point, the quarterback is no longer able, literally the radio shuts off and the quarterback is no longer able to talk to the head coach. Then it's on the quarterback. So after 25 seconds, then the quarterback has to go in and speak to everyone else. And you can see that happening. But it's almost at 25 seconds, you can see him going, well, what's the play? What do you want me to do? So I think as soon as we get to the point where we say, look, let's simplify your play calling. You need to come on the radio immediately and say, this is the play call. We played 11-man personnel. This is what we're doing. Blah, 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 blah. Done. Or Russell Wilson just saying, let me do it. That's a poor choice of words because of what happened in Seattle. But let me run the plays that I want to play, and you just tell me what personnel and what route tree you want to run. And that's it. But at the moment, it's so pitiful. I mean, this is the worst coached team I've ever seen, ever. And that's not an understatement. Sending out your team to receive a punt and then having to call a timeout because there's no punt receiver. What, you know, that's not on the player. That's on the special teams coordinator. I choose these words carefully. It's absolutely pathetic. It's unforgivable, the level of coaching that's going on at the moment.
Wrong words. Let's talk about another game then. That was the Las Vegas Raiders at the Arizona Cardinals. We get ourselves an overtime game in Las Vegas. A touchdown for Devontae Adams and Darren Waller helped the Raiders to a 20-0 halftime lead. But the Cardinals woke up in a first NFL touchdown for Greg Dortch, a rushing touchdown for Darrell Williams, and then a Madden play by Kyler Murray on the last play of the game to get the game-tying touchdown and two-point conversion. A fumble by the Raiders in OT, and Byron Murphy sealed the game with a defensive touchdown. The final score after overtime was the Las Vegas Raiders 23, Arizona Cardinals 29.
Yeah, we spoke about this one.
Yes, we kind of already said that. Yeah. We won't prolong the suffering.
I'm not talking about this anymore. I've already moved on to beating the Titans in week three.
Okay, so let's do Sunday night then. And that was the Packers against the Bears. In shocking news, the Packers beat the Bears on Sunday night in Lambeau. David Montgomery was great on the ground for Chicago, 136 total yards. Aaron Jones was even better, though, for the Pack. 170 total yards and two touchdowns as Green Bay buried the game before halftime. Final score, Packers 27, Bears 10.
I almost died of shock when I saw that. No, I didn't really. I'm only
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
He still owns them, doesn't he?
He owns them.
He still owns
them. Whether he's got receivers or not.
Talking of owning, on to Monday night and the Bills against the Titans. Ryan Tannehill got a mauling from the Bills. He got so bad after two interceptions, just 117 yards passing, that rookie QB Malik Willis even got some game time. Josh Allen hit Stephon Diggs three times and Reggie Gilliam once as the Bills had an easy night. Final score, Bills 41, Titans 7.
It's really nice to throw your quarterback, your rookie quarterback in there against the Bills, isn't it?
That's a good point.
Might as well.
I think you summed it up well. It was an easy night. That's exactly what it was. Yeah, it was almost like, you know, Rory McIlroy going and playing in the pro-ams. It was literally men against boys, and it was not difficult at any point throughout.
Well, I mean, Henry got a touchdown on the first drive, but after that, it was
we're all pretty much aligned in that the Bills are going to be there or thereabouts this season, and the fact that in the first 2 weeks they've beaten the current Super Bowl champions and the former number and last season's number one seed in the AFC by a combined 72-17 or something, I think our outlook is quite safe on the Bills at the minute.
And not a lot for the Titans. We have to start readjusting, our thoughts on what the Titans are doing.
Maybe.
Last game,
you watch a Formula One race at the moment and Max Verstappen gets pole and leads all the way. It kind of feels like what the Bills are going to do. They're going to get pole, just lead all the way, and then win the race. They look so far ahead at the moment. But it's a long old season. A couple of injuries and it changes everything.
Yeah. I used to worry about how they're still using Josh Allen. He's getting hit when you shouldn't get hit. They're just not playing him properly. So,
well, how much of that is down to Josh Allen just being a big,
They're using him on like second down or something. When they're blowing out a team like the Titans, they're still keeping him in and still making him hit the linebacker. It's like, stop doing that.
But I want to see him play
for a long time.
How much of that is down to his quarterback, down to his choices as a quarterback saying, I'm going to do this.
They need to take that away from him as an option.
I agree they should, but whether they will or not is a different matter. I think it's on him, to be honest, because you see there's options available and he decides, I'm going to run it, and then he's a bit too brave, too desperate to get the first
some other options.
Pretty certain Pittsburgh had a quarterback in the not-too-distant future that used to do the same thing. So,
past?
Used to run around all the time, getting hit when he shouldn't have done.
Mm. In the not-too-distant past, they did that. Right, okay.
Well, it might be not too different future. Depends how it goes on.
Watch out, Kenny. Last game on the Monday night, and it was another game that was one-sided. Jalen Hurts had over 300 yards passing and 53-yard touchdown pass to Quez Watkins, plus two on the ground to ease the Eagles away from the Vikings. Kirk Cousins threw three picks, two of them to Darius Slay. The final score, Eagles 24, Minnesota Vikings 7.
Question, what's more shocking? The fact that Kirk Cousins lost the game on Monday Night Football under the lights, or the fact that Chicago lost to the Packers? Because both of those teams are absolutely nailed on. What's more shocking out of the two? You know, because you could guarantee it was going to happen. Kirk Cousins, under the lights, always, always loses.
Well, I think there's a few people that picked the Vikings, including yourself.
Yeah, I was one of them. But guess what?
Yeah, so something that's nailed on.
Top of the predictions, that's purely down to stupidity, though.
Have a great game for the Eagles, though. So with that, we're going to move on and look at the week two wrongins. So these are the picks that you, me, you, and Finn, as the picker for the people, got wrong on week two. So the Ravens were picked by Finn and by Dave to win that game against Miami. That didn't work. The Browns, everyone but Dave picked the Browns to beat the Jets. So congratulations, indeed, Dave, on that one. Always good to be on an island. Finn and Punk picked the Commanders to win their game against the Lions. That didn't come out. With the Colts, Punk and Dave both picked the Colts to beat the Jags.
You know what? I'm meant to put the Jags, and it's just an admin error. I'll take it on the chin. Course, I genuinely will.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, you know, you listened to my prediction prior to the season. I meant to put the Jags. And when I looked, I was like, yes, I've got one for the Jags. I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe I did that. But I'll
take it. What are you doing? I'm picking the Colts.
Yeah, I know.
Teach you to lead until the very last second, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, all right. I was on holiday. What do you want from me?
So was I. Still got my picks in.
Ben, Punk, and myself picked the Saints to beat the Bucks. Dave, another island for yourself. Well done there. Yep. They broke the curse. We all picked the Panthers to win against the Giants. So we all take an L there.
Put some respect on the Giants' name there, too, and I.
Yet another island for Dave, the Steelers. Finn, Punk, and me picked the Steelers, so Dave picked the Patriots. The Bengals, we all took an L on that one. No one expected the Bengals to lose to Cooper Rush, but it happened. We also all thought the Raiders would beat the Cardinals. That didn't happen. And then the Vikings were picked by everyone but myself, so there's an island for me. How it works out is that I got 10 points, Dave got 10 points, Finn got 7 points and Punk got 7 points. So
Evan's actually better than I thought it was, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, that means that Dave now tops the table with 17 points, and everyone else is on 15. So it's a 2-point gap.
We know the way that this goes. I take an early lead. I romp out the way. I told you it's to 10,000 meters, and I'm the Norwegian runner who goes out and guns it first.
You're
you
lot are just setter.
Yeah, you lot are the Ugandan, Ethiopian, and Kenyan runners who sit on my shoulders and absolutely destroy me at the end while I'm blowing out my arse with 5,000 meters to go. That's the way it always runs, you know.
We're tracking this on the Pod versus the People competition. We're running that with playactionpools.com. In our opinion, the best office sports ball hosting platform. It's super easy to enter and track your picks each week as the season progresses. If you want to use Play Action Pools to show off your skills in American football or even basketball that's happening next month, that's starting up again, then don't forget to use our discount code TFD for 10% off and help their company move forwards. Check them out on playactionpools.com. That's playactionpools.com. All right, boys. Time for that last bit of the show, and that is the picks for week 3. And
didn't realize we had Matthew McConaughey being a special guest host there.
Absolutely. So what we're going to do, as we stop getting interrupted, God damn it. Right.
Get on with it.
Anyone think this we is are the doing, part of the pod? Come on.
Oh, my word. We are doing the Punk versus the People. It should be the Pod versus People, but Punk won last year. So it's up to you, Punk, to get the win. We are having a different person every week come in and actually give their picks on the pod. And this week, I'm very pleased to welcome Jake to the podcast. Jake, as a Chiefs fan, you must be enjoying being around these other two.
Yes.
Who created this?
What? I was going to say, who's inviting Chiefs fans onto here? I mean, come on, man.
Brought a man who's a follicking vodka-flavored clovers.
Just because last week you had us replaced doesn't mean that you can kind of just throw us under the bus like that. That's dreadful.
I've been following since 2013, the Chiefs, so gut-wrenching heartache versus final glory for the last couple of years. So
exactly.
I'm doing it while I can.
So what you're saying, Jake, is that you can still be corrupted?
No. Chiefs is my team now. I've settled.
Well, if you settled through 2013, then you can settle for anything. So, right, thank you very much, Jake, for coming and doing the picks. Let's get on and do them. So we're going to start with the Thursday night game, and that is the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Cleveland Browns. Both took terrible losses in week 2. But who's going to take the win? Jake, who are you picking?
I'm going to go with the Steelers this week. It's a difficult choice. They both look pretty strong, but I think the Steelers could probably pinch it.
Yeah. Well, I like that one. Hello. Punk, what are you going for?
Steelers lost at home to the Patriots. This is a god-awful Patriots team. Therefore, the Steelers don't deserve anything. Therefore, with the Browns being at home, I'm going with the Browns.
We just lost at home to the Jets.
Yeah, but that's because they took their foot off the pedal, not because they were just outplayed by a crap team. So, yeah, no, Browns all day long for me. Thank you very much. Thursday night. Ooh.
All right. So we're going to have some differences in the picks. Love it. On to Sunday, then we start with the NFC South matchup. It is the New Orleans Saints at the Carolina Panthers. Punk, it's your turn. Who is going to win this game?
Although the Saints didn't really show up against the Buccaneers as such, the Panthers kind of showed up a little bit against the Giants, but not enough to convince me of anything really. And you know, I think the Saints have just got enough weapons to be able to outlast them. So for me, it's the Saints.
Oh, for me, the Saints as well, I think. It's too early in season to make a lot of big kind of sweeping calls. It could go either way, but I think the Saints have got it this week. I think they're doing a lot better, and they're the wife's team as well, so a little bit of loyalty.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, he plays a quiet life, really, doesn't he?
I got to win points.
As long as she heard you make that pick, that's all right. So on to the next one then.
Do I get points for your wife then for picking the Saints as well?
I'll ask. I'll find out.
Next up then is the Houston Texans at the Chicago Bears. Jake, two teams not doing so great at the moment.
Texans, Bears.
In Chicago. Again,
took me a while to pick this one. I'm going with the Bears. I think it's, again, it's either way. I think, honestly, it's not really any particular kind of a washout or a guaranteed win, but I'm putting some money on the Bears, I think, this week.
Okay.
I agree that this is a horrible game to call. I've gone the Bears as well, mainly because they're at home. And, you know, Soldier Field, bit of a crowd, bit of weather. Not sure the Texans will like that too much. So, yeah, Bears for me.
Okay. Then we've got the Kansas City Chiefs at the Indianapolis Colts. Punk, you picking the Chiefs?
I hate to do it, but, yeah, I think I've got to go with the Chiefs, looking at the results of the first couple of weeks' games. I don't think anyone other than a Colts fan that's probably insane would probably pick them at the minute. So, yeah, Chiefs.
Oh, good to hear you back in the Chiefs. The Chiefs,
they do it a lot.
Of course. They've done a good start to the season. I'm pretty happy with how we are. Couple of injuries from last game, so maybe not as good as on top form, but I think the Colts particularly should be in the bag.
And Willie Gay's out for four games, right, isn't he? Breaking a Hoover or something? What happened? I don't know. Weird.
Yeah, breaking a Hoover and a door frame.
All right, should have got a massage instead. Yeah, look that one up, Dave.
I've got better things to do.
Next game, the Buffalo Bills at the Miami Dolphins. Jake, AFC East. This should be good.
This took me a while. I think it's the Bills. They're both really good this year. I had a quick look at some of the games, and the Dolphins had an amazing game the last week.
They did.
So the Bills, it's really difficult to call, but I think the Bills have really, really stepped up as well. So I think they've probably got it this time. But it's going to be a game to watch, I think.
I agree with that sentiment. It's definitely one of the games of the week to watch this. After what the Dolphins did in one quarter against the Ravens, it was almost, you know, Chiefs-like in a way. For me, yeah, I think the Bills are just built this season. I think they're a locomotive that even the Dolphins and their new fancy high-powered offense won't be able to live with. So for me, yeah, I agree. Bills, even though it's in Florida.
It's an NFC North. Sorry, Patrick.
I was going to say, nothing else. They'll be in the red zone quite a lot, I'm sure.
Let's just see some scoring. Then we've got an NFC North matchup. It's the Detroit Lions at the Minnesota Vikings. Punk?
Vikings have got to be angry the way they played against the Eagles. So for me, them being at home, the Lions, feisty, you know, they're a half-decent team this year. They really are. Amon-Ra St. Brown is playing out of his skin. I think the Vikings, though, for that defense, will just have a bit too much on offense. So for me, it's a home win for the Vikings.
Put my money on too. Vikings at home. Again, they're both quite equally matched. I think it's not been something that I can see going one way or the other. It could easily go either way, but with them being at home, I think the Vikings should be able to have a bit more of a home advantage and should pull through.
It is. Next up then, it's the Baltimore Ravens took a gut punch last week against the New England Patriots, who aren't looking great either. Jake?
Ravens, Patriots. I've gone with the Ravens. Again, from the game last week with the Dolphins, it was constant scoring back and forth. They were doing really well. The defense is going to suffer, which I know the Patriots do take advantage of quite often. So it's either going to be a high score game or it's going to be a shutdown from the Patriots, I think. It depends how the defense plays, but I'll put some money on the Ravens this week.
Patriots are not a good team. You know, they're okay. They can do bits and pieces, but the Ravens should have beaten the Dolphins. You know, there really is no excuse for it. So I think the Ravens, again, you know, far too much of a high-powered offense, will score plenty of points. And I don't think the Patriots will be able to answer at all. So, yeah, Ravens for me.
Consensus. All right. So then we've got a team that hasn't got a win. That's the Cincinnati Bengals up against the New York Jets. Punk.
If you'd have gone into this game a couple of weeks ago saying that the Jets would have more wins on the board than the Bengals, I wouldn't have called you insane, but I'd have been thinking about maybe having a little chat with you on to one side. That being said, however, miracles don't happen twice. Ooh. So I'm going with the Bengals to win and win quite handily on this one. I think this is Bengals, similarly to the Raiders, are now getting into that we really need to get one on the board situation. So, yeah, I think they'll play angry, they'll play hard, and I think they'll score a lot of points against the Jets.
Okay.
Upset.
I'm going with the Bengals. I'm going with the Bengals. News came out that Zach Wilson isn't starting, so it should be. It's going to be a tight one, but the Bengals, with Joe Flacco starting for the Jets, I think the Bengals should pull ahead. I think.
Oh, touchdown, Joe Flacco! So much disrespect going on here. All right, well, okay, both on for the Bengals. So then we've got the Las Vegas Raiders at the Tennessee Titans. Both of them took a loss last week. One more spectacular than the other. But Jake, who do you think is going to win this one?
Raiders Vikings.
No, Raiders Titans.
Raiders Titans, sorry. Raiders.
In Tennessee.
Yep. As a Chiefs fan, what are you doing?
Don't
let him
stop trying to influence the outcome of the results.
I don't want to say it. No, Raiders. The Raiders.
That's the correct choice, Jake. Well done.
Your record says otherwise, Punk, but
you're backing the Chiefs this week. I'll back the Raiders this week, you know.
That sounds
fair. Then we'll see how we are at the end of the season.
I'm still backing the Raiders as well, to be honest.
Falling down that black hole, as he does every single season. All right, fair enough. So more consensus. Then we've got an NFC East matchup. It's the Philadelphia Eagles at the Washington Commanders. Punk.
I really want to pick the Commanders in this, but the Eagles would just... I mean, Jalen Hurts actually starting to look like a quarterback. So the fact that the Eagles have got a quarterback now, I think really, really kind of helps them. So for that reason and that reason alone, I fancy Philly to... going to Washington and stomp all over the Commanders.
Yeah, I think the same. I think Philadelphia are going to walk this one. I think it's... Yeah, they've been really good so far this season. And as I said, the quarterback's been on form. So hopefully, barring any major disruptions, it should be a win for them.
Yeah, it's nice to see Devonta Smith getting some targets this week as well. Then we've got the Jacksonville Jaguars off their win at the LA Chargers. Jake. As a Chiefs fan.
I know, I'm backing all the people in my group. This is the problem, I'm going with the Chargers. I'm going with the Chargers on this one. The Jaguars are a fine team, but...
They got a shout-out last week.
Yeah. But Chargers, it's a really competitive league we're in at the minute. So I see the Chargers pulling ahead. But again... The Jaguars could pull a massive upset. I could see them just holding out for hope, but I think the Chargers are going to pull out.
The Jags could win this game. If they play up to the level they've played the last couple of weeks, I think there is every opportunity for them to win this game. The only thing that makes me very hesitant to pick them is the fact they're not playing in Jacksonville. They're flying out to LA for it. And for that reason alone, I am picking the California Chargers.
All right. Let's see if you can get some difference on this next pick. It's an NFC West matchup, the LA Rams at the Arizona Cardinals. Punk, you know about Arizona very recently?
Just out of what they did at the weekend, I'm picking the Rams. Stomp all over them. Aaron Donald, eat that little midget quarterback for dinner. Not happening. I'm going Rams. There's no way on this planet the Cardinals should have. It's not even too fresh. The Cardinals just not that good a team. It's just a horrible, horrible, anyway, we'll talk. We've talked about that already. Yeah. So no, it's Rams. It's got to be the Rams. The Rams offense is now firing. They're getting Robinson involved more. Yeah, Robinson's a decent receiver. Yeah. Once he's got going, that creates room for Carp. You know, they still need a bit of a running game, to be honest, but can't have everything. So, yeah, Rams with that defense and good receivers on offense absolutely destroy the Cardinals by about 20 points.
Jake, any counters to that?
No, I'm in agreement on my picks. I had a quick look through them, and that's the same. Same conclusion I came to really is it's got to be the Rams.
All right. Well, we'll expect a Cardinals victory then on Sunday. And then we've got the Atlanta Falcons at the Seattle Seahawks. P.U. Jake, what are you going for on that one?
I'm going with the Seahawks. I'm going with the Seahawks on that one. Again, on form, looking all right. I could see them pulling ahead again, but I don't know if it's going to be one that's going to be a tight game or not. I could see the Falcons doing relatively well. They've been all right so far, but I just can't see them doing any better than they've done so far at the start. So I'm going with the Seahawks, really.
Okay.
Falcons were a bit unlucky against the Rams in that they just left a bit too late and with a bit too much for themselves to get back into it. This is one of those games where both teams absolutely suck, let's be honest. And that will usually create for a half-decent game to watch because it will just be fumbles everywhere, scores galore by defenses, long bombs that get intercepted. I originally was going to go Seahawks, but as a bit of a laugh, and because Jake's picked the Seahawks, I'm going to go with the Falcons.
Okay. The other evening game then is the Green Bay Packers at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Two veteran quarterbacks. Punk, who are you going for in this one?
Green Bay are flattering to deceive a little bit. They haven't really worked out this new offense without Adams and co. I know they beat the Bears fairly comfortably, but I'm not convinced that coming up a hot against a decent team like the Buccaneers, even though it sounds like Mike Evans is probably going to miss the game, is really going to help them at all. So for me, Bucks win this one.
Yeah, the Buccaneers, Brady still the GOAT, sadly. He's done, even now it is God knows how many seasons he's got left in him, but he's still going strong. So I think it's going to be a Buccaneers win.
That's us again. All right. So then the Sunday night game is the San Francisco 49ers at the Denver Broncos. Jake, as a Chiefs fan,
what are you saying? For in this one? What do you mean?
I'm just reminding you in case you've forgotten.
I guess. Yeah, as much as the Broncos are an all right team, I guess I'm going with the 49ers. I'm going with 49ers.
You're having that. They're an all right team.
Well, absolute dog.
You realize, Jake, that you've picked every single person in the AFC West to win apart from the Broncos.
Yeah,
I don't know what you mean.
That's fine. Unc, what are you doing?
Oh, you know, 49ers have now got a quarterback as opposed to that kindergarten kid that you were supporting. So, yeah, 49ers all day long for me.
Idiots. Okay, so consensus there. And then the Monday night game, it's the Dallas Cowboys at the New York Giants NFC East showdown. Punk.
If you told me that 2 weeks into the season, the Giants would be 2-0, I would have laughed at you. This actually could be a very good and interesting game. I do think, however, the Giants are lacking on offense. And the fact that the Cowboys still have a good defense means I'm leaning their way. So I'm going to go with the Cowboys to win in the Meadowlands.
Yeah, Cowboys I put on mine as well for this week. It's going to be a good matchup. I just can't see... Actually, the Cowboys pulling ahead, really. They just seem to be a bit more cohesive. Hopefully, they'll be strong. But again, it's a difficult call. I couldn't say for definite if there's going to be one win or the other. But I'm putting my back in on the Cowboys this week, and we'll see how I do the following week.
Giants are a hard team to love by the feel of it. I mean, just, you know, it's hard to back them, but well, there you go. Those are the 16 games that are coming up for week 3. Jake, thank you so much for coming on and doing this for the people. Hope you win. Hope you smash it all. And yeah, we'll find out obviously next week when we're totting up the scores. But yeah, thank you very much for doing this, man.
No worries. Thanks for having me on.
Cheers, Jake. Anytime.
When I'm wrong, you can give me all sorts of hell next week. How about that?
What are you talking about? We don't do that.
We wouldn't do that. It's class and decorum that goes on here.
I heard my picks last season getting torn apart.
Yeah, but to be fair, Jake, we treat everyone with as much contempt, so it's equal opportunity. Hey,
it's all fun and games.
I'm here every week and they torch my picks, so don't feel offended.
They make them easy to torch. So
I was going to say there's a reason it's not called Day's Picks this season. So.
Well, I said,
thanks
well,
very much, Jake.
I'll listen next week and let me know how you do. But we'll do, man. Thanks a lot.
Cheers, Jake.
Bye.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
So, boys, one more thing before we go. We're going to talk about fantasy because that's been a disaster for all of us recently.
Well, maybe for you too.
Not been great. Time to make some adjustments already.
Not much. But
we had another idea, though, didn't we, for something else we wanted to do for the pod. And that was we wanted to predict touchdown scorers, right?
Yeah. Are we gonna track scores on this throughout the season, me and you, Jim?
My bank balance, as it depletes.
Could do.
You're only putting 20p on each bet, then.
I'm sure you'll write it down, though. Dave, and then come back to us at the end of the season and go, ah.
Depends if I win or lose or not.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. The whole point of this is we come up with a 3-person accumulator. Now the whole point is who is going to score a touchdown. So we'll pitch it to Punk, and Punk will then decide which one he believes is the most valid. And yeah, if you want to then go along and put a bet on it yourself, and hopefully earn a little bit of money when the fun stop and all that lot. But yeah, I will then go. At the moment, I've had a look, and it's a bit too early at the moment. Betting sites are not giving odds on touchdown scores for week 3. But I'm more than happy to start if you want me to. I'll give you my 3.
Go on. Yeah, I've got three.
So first person I believe will score a touchdown, rushing touchdown. This one might be a receiving touchdown. Who knows? Jalen Hurts versus Washington. So as mentioned earlier, Washington have allowed 314 rushing yards so far this season. Front line, not too strong. 28th worst team in terms of defending the run. And we've seen how good that running back is and slamming the ball in. So yeah, Jalen Hurts, number one overall. Second, Drake London versus Seattle. So Seattle have had the second worst passing defense this year. Lost Jamal Adams as well. And the Seattle defense is pants at defending the pass. Drake London has been the Falcons' top receiver in both games so far this season. And against the Rams last week, had 8 receptions for 86 yards and a touchdown. I think he's a fairly decent shout to be in with a chance of getting a touchdown again. And option 3, Davante Adams this week. Derek Carr was heavily criticized in week 1 for forcing the ball to Adams, and he only got 2 receptions last week. So I think this will be his rebirth. So yeah, Davante Adams to score a touchdown this week.
Well, weirdly, I also picked Jalen Hurts to get a touchdown, Dave. So
so it's a good pick for me, though.
I think that's fairly safe, that one. Yeah. He's had 3 touchdowns on the ground in 2 games. So I don't see the Commanders really slowing him down at all. My second pick was another rookie, like you've done there. Chris Olave for the Saints, though, Punk. He had 13 targets last week. Jameis loves this. They are playing the Panthers. I think you can score on the Panthers.
Interesting.
Division rival. So I think, although he only caught 5 of 13 targets, he was targeted 13 damn times. So
what happened with the other 5? Were there 8 drops in there, or was it just out of reach?
Well, it's always going to be a combination of stuff there, Dave, but you know what I mean. Chris Olave was known through college of being able to hold the ball, so it was a bit of a weird game, really, in terms of that. But
so I think Jerry Judy, look what's happened to him.
I know, but I just went with production and how much someone loves him, so I think that he's got a good chance of getting a touchdown against the Panthers. My third pick was Brandon Ayuk for the 49ers against the Broncos. He had 8 targets last week. Jimmy Garoppolo loves Brandon Ayuk. And so again, a guy that's due for a touchdown. Sometimes if they had one last week, they might not get one this week. He's hungry to get one this week.
Interesting.
They're very interesting picks, actually, both sets.
So you're looking, just as a recap, you're choosing between Chris Olave and Brandon Ayuk, yes, or Drake London and Devontae Adams. I think both, do you know what
going to do? Because they're bloody Raiders fans.
No. I think that's a good selection. Either way, even if you pick you, Jim, I'm perfectly happy with the ones I've picked. I'm perfectly happy with the ones that you picked as well. I think they're very good selections.
Honestly, if I was a betting man, I'd probably chuck a couple of shekels on each of them. Mm. I think they're good picks. I think they're solid picks. I think the reasons are good behind them. The only one I'm questioning slightly is yours, Jim, because Olave against the Panthers. The Panthers, yeah, they've not played great, but their defense isn't bad. And if they do step up and have a game, and it being a divisional game, etc., etc., I can see Olave maybe struggling a little bit. And I question Ayuk just on the fact that he hasn't really done much this season yet. Now, obviously, with Garoppolo coming back in, he used him a lot more last season, so yeah, it makes sense to go with that pick, to be honest. But I do very much like Dave's, and I think I'm going to lean towards Dave's. Drake London versus the Seahawks, Adams versus the Titans, both very, very poor defensive backfields. I'd say they're almost nailed on, and then Hurts as well, which you both had. I think is a good shout. So for this week, I'm going with Dave's. So if anyone wants
1-0.
Anytime touchdown scorer. It's
watch me playing Devontae Adams next week. Watch me win.
London versus the Seahawks and Adams versus the Titans. Well, no, it depends who we're playing, doesn't it?
I don't think it does.
My next week is going to be Josh Jacobs, Darren Waller, Hunter Renfrow.
You won't get that one. You're not having that one. I'm not picking that one. That's correct.
Oh no!
It's your segment, you boy.
I think
after watching the Titans last night, I expected a lot more from them. But those rookie defensive backs just look poor. I think you know, even if Carr only throws it to Adams 5 times, he's going to get at least 1 touchdown.
One thing I would put a bet on is, going back to that Panthers game, is Michael Thomas to receive a ball long down the field, and there to be a defensive pass interference against J.C. Horn. That's almost guaranteed.
Almost
to happen.
Certainly. Yeah, almost
certainly. No, the reason I thought about this is because at the moment, on multiple betting sites that I'm using, the odds are crap on game lines at the moment. There's something going on where they're not giving money away, and I don't know what it is. I put on an accumulator, what I thought was going to be like a 10-team accumulator, and I went to put just a cheeky quid on it, and he was going to offer me back about £7.40, and I thought, what the hell is going on here? So
what's happened is a lot of the betting sites have suddenly realised that the NFL is actually quite popular.
Yeah.
So they've drafted in some NFL experts in that actually know what's going on, so they're not giving away stupid odds anymore.
But I think, Jim's, your approach last season of having just your underdog bets. I think they're not a bad shout, you know.
I picked three games where the teams got the longer odds. But I think
all you need is one. Just stick one in there. If you have 3 or 4 that you think are definitely going to win, stick one in there that's going to boost your odds, and that's a good bet. But no, the players sort of score anytime touchdown bet are a definite way to give you some change back.
Eventually. With that, guys, thank you very much for listening. If you want to check us out, obviously thefinaldown.com, where you can find those beanies. Check out the Final Down NFL on Twitter at @punk_raider, at @DenverDave30.
Sign up to the Patreon.
And yeah, thank you very much for Jake for being on the picks this week. Thank you very much, Finn, for being on last week. Love you, man, and hope to get you on very soon again. But until next week, I've been Jim. That's been Punk Raider. That's been Denver Dave. Thank you very much for listening.